If you could walk in God's very best, what would you be willing to do to see this unfold? Today in the sermon, let's look at those who gave God their all and the ripples it had for generations to come. Now the word with Pastor Paul.
All this month, we have been talking about following Jesus, becoming a disciple of Jesus. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. Our making is in following Jesus. This morning, we'll go a step further here in our lesson. Let's turn to John chapter 8, verse 31. John 8, verse 31. Glory be to the name of the Lord. John 8, 31. Then Jesus said to those who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, God is calling us in this season to go a step further. He's calling us to go a step deeper in our walk with him. Now, if you read this text, it says, then Jesus said to those who believe him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. That means there is a difference between those who believe on him and those who are his disciples. Thank you, Lord. Notice how he puts it in the New Living Translation. He says, Jesus said to the people who believe in him, to the people who believe in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. There is a difference between believing in Jesus and becoming a disciple of Jesus. They are two separate things. And a lot of people fall in that category of people who just believe on him. These people have already believed in him, but he says, you are truly my disciples if you remain, in the New Living, he says, faithful to my teachings. In the New King James, he says, if you continue, if you are my disciples, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Abiding in his word and continuing faithfully to his word is what makes us disciples. You see, a disciple is a follower. A disciple is a student, a learner. And Jesus is calling us not to just be people who believe on him. He said, those Jews who believe him, abide in my word, be faithful to my teachings, then you graduate from just being a believer to a disciple. And then he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yes. Put this together with what he says in Luke chapter 6. Verse 40, thank you, Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 6, verse 40. He says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. A disciple is not above his teacher. Then, if he continues in that, if he continues and is perfectly trained, he will be like his teacher. And that is what Jesus Christ came, the reason why he came. That we will be like him. That we will be obedient like he was obedient in his earth walk. That we will walk like he pleased the Father. That we will learn to be led by the Holy Spirit like he was led by God to fulfill all that God had for his life. And sometimes it's difficult for us sometimes. We ask ourselves, can I really be like Jesus? Yes, you can. If you are determined. Because Jesus wants us to, I'll come back to Luke chapter 6, verse 40, but Jesus wants us to get to the place Like he says in John chapter 14, verse 12, notice what he says. John chapter 14, verse 12, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He who believes in me, the works, the things that you saw Jesus Christ do, he says you can do the same thing. Believe that. The teaching, the preaching, the miracles. He wants you to graduate to a disciple, to a place where he is doing his works now through you. He wants us to develop and to get to that place. And he says, when you get to that point, when you are perfectly trained, you will be like the master. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I like how he puts it, Luke chapter 6, verse 40 in the Amplified. Let's read it from the Amplified. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 6, verse 40. He says, a pupil is not superior to his teacher, but everyone, when he is completely trained, readjusted, restored, set to rights and perfected, will be like his teacher. That is the goal of discipleship. For us to be just like Jesus. But then he adds another thing. He throws another thing in there. He says, when he is completely trained, that means that there is training involved. And training involves discipline. Training involves discipline. That is what the Apostle Paul was talking about. And for a disciple, there's a difference between a pupil as well. And for training, discipleship requires commitment. It requires a greater submission to the will of the master. And so, notice what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. There are two illustrations that we can look at this morning in our lesson. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Glory. 1 Corinthians, I mean. 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 9, verse 24. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may attain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You see, back then, they had the Olympics as well. And they will run in a race. And he's saying that those who run in a race all run, but only one person receives the prize. And he's saying that you should run in such a way that you may obtain it. Yes. There is a prize for us to obtain. And he's saying here also that these people are running for an imperishable, for a perishable crown. But we are running, thanks be to God, for a crown that will not perish. Amen. And what you have to realize is, if you are a Christian, God has a crown for each and every one of us. God has a prize for running this Christian walk, for running this Christian race. He has a crown reserved for you and I. And that is what should be the motivating factor for us in this Christian walk. Amen. To press on. But notice he says, I run not with uncertainty, that I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body. Think about the training that people who run in the Olympics, they put themselves through. There is discipline involved in this Christian walk. One time last year we visited the Olympic Training Center here in town, and they took us through the facility and showed us the way these people discipline themselves to go into the Olympics. You train for 4 hours in a day. Then the other 4 hours of the day, you are preparing they prepare themselves mentally. Then they are on a very strict diet. They can't just put anything in their body. All for that medal that they are shooting for. How much more you and I, Jesus has a crown prepared for us. An imperishable crown, he calls it. So he says, I discipline myself. I put myself through that discipline because I am running for an imperishable crown. Every disciple, when he is perfectly trained, will be like his teacher. How many of us want to be like Jesus? I want to be like Jesus. But there is discipline involved. There is training involved. The training, the discipline of studying the Bible, reading the Bible. The discipline of praying, the discipline of all these things. The goal is that we want to hear on the last day, well done, good and faithful servant. You have run the race that I set before you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That will be your testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, there's another illustration that he also uses. Thank you, Father. No, before we get there. You see, there's a price to pay for this athlete. And sometimes the cost of discipleship hinders some people. When they look at the discipline involved, they just throw out and say, I cannot do this. But notice what Jesus Christ said. Thank you, Father. Let's go to Luke chapter 14. Let's look at a number of scriptures here. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Thank you, Lord. He says, Luke 14:25. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I like how he puts it again in the Amplified. Let's read it from the Amplified. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Luke 14, 25. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, now huge crowds were going along with Jesus. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother in the sense of indifference to or relative disregard for them in comparison with his attitude toward God, and likewise his wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not persevere and carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There is a cost to discipleship. There is a cost to making a decision to follow Jesus. And here he talks about some of the closest people to us in our lives that sometimes we can put God, we can put them above God. These are people that can sometimes hinder us in our walk with God. Amen. He's saying that if you are coming to me and you do not hate your own father and mother, and the Amplified expands on it. That is why it's called the Amplified. I like that. He says, in the sense of indifference to or relative disregard for them in comparison with his attitude toward God. And yes, he says, and even his own life also. You must regard God above any other relationship in your life. You must regard God above even your own life. Who gave you the life to start with? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And he says, who does not persevere and carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Who said this? Who said this? Jesus, Jesus is the one that said it. And if you have a letter that gives the letters of Jesus in red, it's written in red. Red words win. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice another one that he says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He says something similar. Matthew chapter 10, you must regard Jesus to every other relationship and everything else in your life. Thank you, Lord. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Glory be to God. He's calling us to go deeper. Matthew 10:37 says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. If you love anybody else more than Jesus, he's saying that you are not worthy of him. He must be the most important person in your life. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Again, let's look at it from the Amplified. He expands on it. He says, he who loves and takes more pleasure in father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves and takes more pleasure in son or daughter more than in me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me cleaves steadfastly to me, conforming wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also, is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his lower life will lose it, the higher life. And whoever loses his lower life on my account will find it, the higher life. If you cleave steadfastly to me, and you're conforming wholly to my example in living and need be in dying also, that's the disciple, that person who doesn't regard his life, who has decided that my life is yielded into the hands of the Master. My life is yielded into the hands of God. If you try to save your life, you lose it. If you decide to put your life into your hands, you will gain. Into his hands. He says that whoever finds his lower life, whoever finds his lower life will lose it. You will lose the higher life. And whoever loses his lower life on my account will find it the higher life. Oh, the life that God has ordained for you to live. The higher life starts with a decision that I yield my life into the hands of the Master. I will follow the Master. I will not let anyone or anything stand in my way, in my quest, and in my quest to follow Jesus. I am going to be disciplined. I am going to take up my cross. I am going to cleave steadfastly to Him. No matter what happens, Jesus is the one that I follow. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It requires training. It requires discipline. And thank God, He's made Himself available to teach us. And we must make ourselves available to follow Him as well. Notice what the Bible says. Another illustration here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2. From verse 1. He says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted himself as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." You see, for me, when I got saved, I really got saved. When I made a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, for me, that settled it. And I made a decision that He was the one that I was going to follow. And I was very young at the time, and I went to a school, a boarding high school, where it was a religious institution, and it was an institution that was against being filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in other tongues. And we were zealous for God, and I still am zealous for God. I'm still the same way. And these administrators of the school were so much against us that they used to come to our prayer meetings and to our gatherings and scatter us. You cannot do this in this institution. You cannot do this. And one time, I was in the hall chapel. I was praying, and I was just praying. I was fellowshipping with God and praying and communing with the Father and praying in other tongues. And the assistant principal of the school came, and he heard me, and he called me to his office. And he said, "What are you doing? Haven't we told you not to practice this here? And do you think that God doesn't have enough sense to give us our natural language that we were born with, our native language, to communicate with Him, and you are speaking all this gibberish?" I'm paraphrasing what he said. and then he said, "You are going to have to stop this. And if you continue," and I was in the leadership of the organizational campus. "If you continue this, we're going to expel you from the school. We're going to kick you out of the school." And I don't remember what I said to him. And they flogged me and let me go. And then they wrote a letter. They beat me. Yeah, exactly. They beat me with whips, with a cane. "Don't do this. Tell your people not to do this." But What happened was they sent a letter to my parents and said, if you and all of us were involved at the time, and said, if you continue this practice, we are going to expel you from the school. So when I got home on a break, and my dad was really upset, he said, if you want to be a preacher, just be a preacher. Don't bother with this, your educational career. And don't worry about it. Oh, my Lord and my God. And then, but the thing that they couldn't figure out was, we who were dedicated to God, we who were following God, we were the smartest in the school. And we represented the school in national quizzes and all these things for the school. So if you expel me and the people that are with me, we are taking our intelligence with us. We are taking our intelligence with us. We'll carry it somewhere. We can always take it anywhere. Amen. Glory to God. And that is what sooner or later the world will come to figure out. We are the salt of the earth. If we get out of here, you don't even want to be here. Glory be to the Lord. If the church, the salt, gets out of this system, when Jesus Christ comes and we get out of here and you are here, it's chaos. You are in trouble. Oh, but very soon the world will discover that we are the most blessed. We are the most blessed. The blessing of God is on us. We are the most prosperous. We are the ones excelling in the world. And they will come following us and saying, what must we do to be saved? What must we do to live as healthy as you are? What must we do to live as blessed as you are? We have seen the hand of God on your life. We will follow your God. There is something you have that we don't have. We have been persecuting you all this while, but you have God and we don't. We will serve and choose the God that you have. If you believe it, say amen this morning. Glory! Glory be to the name of the Lord. You don't lose by following Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to that, my mama. I'm excited. Oh, glory. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he says, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, he uses another term here in verse 3. He says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He now brings in another element, a soldier. And he says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. A soldier and an athlete. And for somebody in the army, or as a soldier, they go through strict discipline. When they get there, they do their physical exercises. Their body may be screaming, but you have to go through those physical exercises. if you are to remain there. Endure hardship as you are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Endure the discipline. Endure the hardship that comes with being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Our desire is to please the one who enlisted us as a soldier. And the soldier is under strict command. He has to do what he's told to do if he's to remain there. Let's say they deploy him to Alaska, and then he goes and responds and says, do we not have a base in Hawaii? Can't I just go to Hawaii? Alaska is too cold. That will be his last day on the job. Even in the natural, now he says that shift it from to a spiritual standpoint. You must seek to please him who enlisted you as a soldier. And then he's saying that you don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life, that you may please him who enlisted you. And if you are competing in athletics, you cannot break the rules. You must compete according to the rules if you are going to be crowned. And the thing that you have to realize, notice what the Bible says. There are so many things that will try to get in our way, in our relationship, and in our walk with God. And as a soldier, as an athlete, we must, so important, lay aside those things. Notice what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, the Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses. Here they are writing a letter. A letter has been written. And you don't write a letter to somebody in chapters and verses. We divide it into chapters and verses to make it easier to reference. You don't write to a letter to Auntie Susie and say, Auntie Susie, chapter 1, verse 2. No, they are divided for reference. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, I like to call it the Hall of Fame of Faith. He talks about what faith will do, and all these people that have walked their faith walk, that have lived their faith life, and the things that they went through, the hardships that they went through. And even though then they endured, and by faith, they were able to make it. So for instance, so when you get to Hebrews chapter 11, thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, he says, and what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through their faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in desert and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Now, when he gets to chapter 12, verse 1, he's continuing the same thought. Therefore, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. The cloud of witnesses he's talking about are those people he's listed in chapter 11 who have already run their race. And the thought again there is like a stadium. And you are running your race, and these people have already made it despite the hardships and what they went through, and they are out there cheering you on. You can make it. There are hardships, there are trials, there are persecution, there are all these things, but you can make it. Keep running, keep running, keep running. We made it. You are also going to make it. We made it. You are also going to make it. You are also going to make it. They are cheering you on. seeing that we are also surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Notice he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Notice he separates the weight from the sin. No one who wars entangles himself with the affairs of this world. Weights are things that will prevent you. You become too heavy, you can't run with that. They will prevent you from running the race and finishing the course. And sometimes there may be legitimate things of life that we are involved in. That's why your Jesus was saying, you have to love me above everything else if you are going to be my disciple. If you are going to run the race that is set before you. Oh, but thanks be to God. How did he say we are going to do it? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, you and I, think about it. If Jesus went through a lot down here, that the religious people of his day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they kept pursuing him all the way to the cross. What if he hadn't gone through that path? What if he had decided not to go the way of the cross? Would we be sitting here today? But you and I, with the joy that he saw, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The hardships that I'm going through is nothing to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Amen. Looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith, despising the shame, despising the shame. Looking unto Jesus. You see, anyone, when you make a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, where we were, let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, downwards again in verse 10. 2 Timothy, we read a few verses there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. Verse 10. He says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. How many? All. He's telling Timothy here, you have carefully followed me, my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But the good news is, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. You see, sometimes we don't like this part. The endurance, the persecutions, the afflictions. The Apostle Paul went through a lot to get the gospel to us. And if he had been some of us, notice he describes some of the things that happened to him in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. We'll come back here. But notice what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in debts often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things which comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. 25, he says, three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I've been in the deep. For some people, after the first time that they got beaten with rods, they would have been like, I'm done, this is it. I didn't know that following Jesus involves this. I didn't sign up for this. I am not willing to be a disciple. Jesus, I will believe on you, but when you talk about this discipleship, look for somebody else. The Jews, 24, from the five, the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. The belief there was, if they give you 40 stripes, you will be killed. You will be dead. You won't survive it. And he's saying that five times I went through it, less minus that last stroke, that would have finished me or caused me to die. But when you go to Timothy, he says, out of them all the Lord delivered me. Oh, he went through it all. And in some cases, some of these letters that you rewrite and we are blessed by it, he was writing from prison. And when he was writing, he says, rejoice. How can somebody who is enduring hardship like this write a letter to you and say, rejoice? What if he had thrown in after the first time that he encountered persecution and said, I give up? Will you be reading this? No. Endure hardship. Sometimes when you start following Jesus, people at your workplace may begin to persecute you. People around you, your neighbors don't understand you, your family members don't understand you. But we must persevere. And as we persevere, the Lord will deliver us out of them all. He says, all who live godly will suffer persecution. So if you're not suffering persecution, you have to check your godly level. notice what Peter says. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We must, whatever you are faced with this morning, notice what he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. He says, thank you, Lord. This is Peter. All the rest that so far we've been reading from Jesus, from Paul, and now look at Peter's perspective on it. He says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified.
Yes, 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 yes.
Don't think that it is strange when you are going through a fiery trial, which is to try you. As though some strange thing is happening to you. Sometimes that's how it feels. That maybe it's just me. That I'm going through a test or a trial. What did he say? But rejoice. Rejoice. To the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. He was talking about, he said in Hebrews chapter 11, he said, time would fail to let me tell you about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar had made a golden image and said, everyone must bow down to that golden image. If you don't bow to the golden image that I've made, you are going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. If you think about it, if you and I were there, what would we do? You either bow or you burn. But if you decide not to bow, you won't burn. But when they decided to stick with God and go through, you see, following Jesus, there is sacrifice involved. Deciding to become a follower of Jesus and imitate him, there is sacrifice involved. Sometimes you have to stand when no one else is standing. You have to make a decision to stand when no one else is standing. Notice what Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel chapter 3. Thank you, Father. Daniel chapter 3, verse 14. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. For this is the case. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. Verse 24 says, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselor, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said, said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. This morning I have come to assure you by the God, if you refuse to bow, if you refuse to compromise, when you make a decision to stand for God, when everybody else decides not to stand, my Lord and my God, that fiery trial that is trying you, in the name of Jesus, I see somebody else with you in that fire. I see somebody else with you in that hardship. I see somebody else with you in that suffering. And he will step in, and the fire will not be able to overpower you. You will come out without even the smell of smoke on your life. Oh, you will come out. God will deliver you. God will deliver you. The glory of Christ will rest upon you. His Spirit will rest on your life. Oh, the fiery trial. Oh, when you make a decision to stand for God, when you make a decision, no matter how difficult and hard it is, I will stand for God. Oh, like the Apostle Paul said, God delivered him out of them all. The same God will deliver him. It's the same God who will deliver you. It's the same God who will take you out of the fire. I see somebody coming out this morning. I see somebody coming out. I said, I see somebody coming out. If that's you, say amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus. There is somebody else with you in the fire. Don't think it's strange when you are going through a trial. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Thank
you. You see, when you yield your life to God, it makes all the difference.
Yes.
It makes all the difference. When you are yielded to God, because it affects other people. Notice what Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 23. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 12, verse 23. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. How many of us want to be honored by God? Jesus Christ despised the shame, and now he's set at the right hand of the Father. You keep your life, you lose it. You put it into his hands, he takes it, and then it multiplies. And it makes a difference in the life of others as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Let me finish with a story of this missionary. His name was Kim. He went to Turkey as a missionary. And when he went there, one day, God led him and said, go to the fair and distribute Bibles. And so the fair was on Monday, and he went to the policeman and said, can I distribute books at the fair? And they said, yeah, that's fine. You can do that. They didn't know that he was going to distribute Bibles. This was a very hardcore Islamic country. So he started distributing Bibles. The first day, no one came in and picked the Bible. Then God said to him, do you really trust me? He said, yes, I trust you. Then God said to him, you watch me, see what I will do. The next day, he heard a voice behind him and a tall man was shouting behind him. He says, oh, here. And he said, here's the Bible. He said, I've been looking for Bibles. He said, I was in France and the Bibles was in French. I couldn't understand it. So thank you for these Bibles. And then when he left, he kept spreading the word about the Bibles, and other people started coming to get the Bibles. But he said, at some point, I got concerned. He says, I was afraid while I was trying to sell the Bible, but God blessed me with Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, where he says, go into all the nations and teach them, preach the good news, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says, do not be afraid, for I am with you always, always. He said, the word always jumped out at me. Then one day he was there, and some people, he was arrested, and put into prison, and for distributing the Bibles at the copies of the Bibles at the airport. They beat him and put him into prison. And he said, God, I want to leave this country. And God said, I thought you said you wanted to die with these people, and now you are trying to leave. They let him out, and this time some people came to him, some hardcore people came to him, and they pretended to be Christians. He said, we want you to teach us the flaws in our religion, give us some of these Bibles, and we want to see what our problem is so we can follow you. Unknowingly, these people had taken a tape recorder and recorded it. They took it and just turned the words around and published it. And so they arrested this person and put him in prison. And his trial went on for a long time, several years. But on the day of his final trial, the judge came out, and this was what happened. They came out, and he was ready. He's ready to die as a martyr in the land, because this is a hard place. The result of what he's doing is capital punishment. You're done. Notice the prosecutors continue saying, he says, we have the freedom of ideology and expression in this country. The defendant should be protected by the Constitution. It is wrong for the broadcasting station to record him, number one, without his permission, to edit it differently and to transmit it. It is reasonable to say that God does not delight in the frequent terrorism and violence from this religion. There are prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament, and Jesus fulfilled them in the New Testament. On the other hand, there is no prophecy about Muhammad, the Old or the New Testament, so we cannot recognize him as a prophet. Therefore, by the constitution of this nation, the defendant should not be found guilty of the charges against him, the contempt of Islam, Quran, and Muhammad. The prosecutor said that what the defendants had, but prosecutor said the defendant had to say, attorney had to say, and as soon as the judge heard the prosecutor, he announced, the defender is not guilty of contempt of Islam, Quran, and Muhammad. He banged the gravel 3 times and exited the courtroom. It left the reporters in the courtroom in shock. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He said, sometimes when I was in a situation like a total darkness, unable to see an inch ahead, however, God has kept me and protected me. He let my missionary work go uninterrupted. The Lord helped me succeed in my ministry. When I had the conviction that everything will be done by the master plan of God, nothing was possible without the help of the Lord. And later on, he left the country, and his children even became evangelists. What do you do in life impacts your children as well. It impacts your generation. When you make a decision to follow the Lord wholeheartedly, no matter what comes up, God will deliver you.
Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Talk to God. I've said a lot this morning. All may not register on you this morning, but think about it. Are you just going to be a believer of the Lord Jesus? Are you going to be someone when the hard days, hardship comes as a result of being a Christian, you just walk away? You see, there's a cost to discipleship. Think about it. If anyone hates, loves his own life more than me, he cannot be my disciple. But the good news is, the same God, all the heroes in the Bible that we talk about, they went through different scenarios, different things. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Daniel, all these ones that we admire, they are people just like us. But the difference between them and us is they made a choice and a decision to follow the Lord.
We pray this message empowered you to walk in God's very best for you. On our website, find the contact button where you can send us questions about the message you just heard. Be sure to download our WMCI app from your App Store to stay connected and grow with many resources we have available for your Christian growth.